the certification is happening at the local level as much as it is global. Unless we address this at the local level, we will never be able to actually control the whole thing at the global level. So you will need global policies, you will need global decisions. The impacts are huge in terms of food security and food sovereignty, for that matter, and in terms of forced migration, when people have to flee whenever there is no opportunity for them anymore to produce, like you have the situation in the Sahel or in Haiti or in other parts of the world. Land degradation and droughts have severe consequences on global security. When people fight for the little land and the little piece of water left, so conflicts over access to land and water are growing all over the place, which is having severe consequences on the homogeneity of these communities. It's also having a severe consequence on our economy. Now, it is estimated that up to 50% of the global GDP might be affected or lost by 2050 unless we address the issue of land loss and desertification, which is understandable. When you affect agriculture and food production, you affect the economy of the world.
What is the trend right now in terms of land loss?
Land loss is happening all over the world. And land degradation, be it in arid lands or in less arid lands. But in terms of dry lands and desertification, it is estimated that 45% of the land surface is affected by desertification. Maybe it is more striking to say that 3.2 billion people are affected by that. So it's one third of the world population that is actually affected by land loss. We need first to halt land degradation, but we also need to restore 1.5 billion hectares of land.
How are you going to do that?
By improving the techniques of agriculture, reducing the impact we are having on land in terms of extraction of minerals and other extractive industries. It is also important that we reduce the pressure in terms of human activities in some parts of the world so as to diversify the economy and create more opportunities to create income rather than just coming back to the same degraded land again. But it is also important to restore. It is not an expensive activity to undertake, but it is absolutely essential to provide more food security, to reduce conflicts. Every single dollar invested in land restoration can generate up to $30 of economy. So it is therefore quite profitable from the economic point of view to invest. Now, this is not only for local communities or for governments. It is essentially for the private sector, because the largest driver of land degradation in the world is large agriculture.
Which are the most affected regions? Are we talking mainly about developing countries?
No, it's a global phenomenon that is affecting all countries in the world, including the United States of America, China or India or Pakistan. But the impact is much more severe in small countries, in small economies that do not have reserves, do not have insurance systems for their people. And the level of vulnerability is much higher in communities whose revenues are only based on the income they can generate from land.
Desertification doesn't exist in isolation. How does it relate to climate change, to drought, to human interventions?
Desertification is an amplifier of climate change. Climate change is an amplifier of desertification because, of course, with extreme events, you also have severe impact on land and on communities and on local economies. So it's basically they are mutually interacting. And it is therefore important to have a global picture and a more comprehensive picture, just to think that you can either protect biodiversity or protect land without climate, or the other way around, will not work.
The small-scale interventions at a local level are very important, but it sounds as though it's going to need a huge push from governments, from the private sectors you just mentioned, as well as international organizations to make a real difference.
Yes, we should not discard all the efforts that are being made by the local communities day in, day out. They need much more support from governments. They also need to see less subsidies, perverse subsidies happening that are destroying the environment, and maybe using that public money that is being invested to destroy the environment to actually rebuild our economy. So it is not necessarily that we need to inject more money, but we need to better spend the money that we have.
I guess some would say that's quite an over-optimistic, maybe even utopian view that governments will be changing the way they spend their money.
No, it makes sense politically. As a taxpayer, I would like to see where my resources are going. If my resources are being invested in activities that are destroying my environment and are creating eco-anxiety for my children, are destroying the livelihoods of my communities, then as a voter, I would insist that my government better invest my money in other areas that would be generating more income to me and more creating more sustainability.
You're from the Sahel. Have you seen this land degradation happen in real time?
The situation in the Sahel is very sad. I've seen it just my lifetime where I have seen degradation. But at the same time, I also have a lot of hope because I see positive changes coming. I see the younger generation being conscious of the fact that they need to reverse the trend. I see more farmers, more pastoralists trying to do their bits. I see more intervention from the international community, including from the humanitarian world, that are investing on land restoration. So I see a movement whereby maybe gives me some hope that if we join our efforts and if we work in a collegial manner, it would be possible to actually reverse the trend. And the best hope I have, energy, which was the missing link for development and small and medium enterprises, energy is now accessible in remote places thanks to our ability to harness solar energy and wind energy. So you don't need to be connected to the grid to actually have energy. And that possibility of combining energy and agriculture is actually a very good hope, because with that energy, you can harvest water, you can store food, you can reduce the food loss, you can actually transform that food, and you can create value chains at the local level.